The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
888-SAY-ESPN. It's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Carson Wentz. People very impressed this morning. He beat a one-win team that he had to orchestrate a comeback against. And the reason he had to orchestrate a comeback is because bad decision after bad decision was made by him. What have I been saying? Like, hey, do you feel any different about Carson Wentz today? I feel the exact same way. It's not Baker Mayfield. The worst thing you could do is just not care about a guy anymore, right? Like, Baker's all right. And when he said, you know, like, I'm not worried about what the media says. I could be much better. I'm just worried about people in this room. The media gets paid to do that. I get paid to do this. He's absolutely right. But I don't know if Baker can be much better. I think he could be better. I don't think he can be elite. I think Carson can be elite because I've seen it. Through 14 or whatever it was weeks of the season a couple years ago, year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I thought he was the MVP of the league. But he got hurt. Nick Foles took over and won MVP of the Super Bowl. Won playoff game after playoff game, including MVP of the Super Bowl against Tom Brady in the Patriots defense, Bill Belichick. Then the next year, the Eagles were going nowhere. 500 team, Nick Foles took over. They caught fire. They went to Soldier Field to play the best defense in the league, and the Bears, a team that was favored by many to go to the Super Bowl that year. A lot of people liked them. They weren't like the favorites, but a lot of people liked them to upset the odds and get there. It's like, you know, they were among the favorites. And Eagles beat them behind Foles. And then they went to New Orleans. How are you going to beat New Orleans at New Orleans? Foles almost did it. The receiver turns around. Foles, like, hit him with the ball. Almost beat the Saints. That wasn't Carson Wentz. And then last year, everyone's singing his praises because the Eagles, who were struggling mightily, as was Carson Wentz, got healthy against one of the worst divisions in the history of football, the NFC East last year. By the way, in all of his performances against the NFC East last year, Carson Wentz fared worse than the other quarterbacks in the division fared against the teams that Carson Wentz had just beaten. In other words, if Wentz beat the Washington team, then Daniel Jones, a rookie, played better against Washington than Wentz did. Or if Washington started, who did they start last year? I'm forgetting already. But it was not a starting quarterback. And they would do better against, like, you know, Dallas than Wentz would do. He won games because it was an awful division. Now, I said that he's not the worst quarterback in football. He's top 15. He's a mid-pack starter. Top 15, he's top 10. Stop it. Wentz is good, as I've been telling you in the second half of last year and so far this year, for one elite throw a game, Boston Scott last night, three or four other good plays, and the rest just bad decisions and poor execution. He has regressed shockingly. I will take you through it. Did it in the first hour. I'm going to do it again. First quarter, Eagles are already up 7-0. Third and 9 from their own 12. Wentz gets phenomenal protection, holds the ball forever. We're talking about 7 full seconds. Does he throw it away? No. He takes a sack inside the 5-yard line. That can't happen. He's not a second-year quarterback on his rookie deal. He's a fifth-year quarterback on a $100 million-plus deal. Taking a sack inside the 5-yard line? You know what happened? They followed it up with a lousy punt. The Giants started their drive on the Eagles' 39-yard line. One play later, 39-yard touchdown for Golden Tate. I'm literally reading from notes I took on the game last night. Thought I was going to have to talk to Dan Orlovsky on First Take today. But so I was like, let me actually take some notes. Game tied. Tied game. How does he do that? I'm not talking about, like, when he leads the league in turnovers. That's obvious. He led the league in turnovers. That's bad. When I tell you, you know, but these are like back-breaking plays that, as bad as the stats are that way, don't tell you the full story. Wentz kills the team that way. Oh, he didn't kill the team last night. Shut all the way up. They're playing the Giants. And even though they're playing the lowly Giants, if Engram holds on to the ball, the Eagles lose anyway. Okay, end of the first quarter. First and 10 from the Giants, 30. Again, Wentz is holding the ball. He does not get rid of it. He refuses to get rid of it until he's in the grasp of the defense, takes an intentional grounding penalty. He lost 16 yards. Why? He does not need to be a hero on every play. Then there's the play right after the interception, Mills' interception. Wentz runs backwards over 20 yards. Then he heaves a jump ball across his body, across the field. And it's inexplicable. What's he doing? Same drive, he rolls left and throws another interception in the red zone. And the reason I bring it up, as I mentioned in the first hour, all these plays that he makes, these, like, what chance is there of a positive outcome? None. Shovel pass into a receiver's back while he's being sacked. Gets to the red zone, doesn't get any business done down there. Yeah, he's going on a little run now. They have two wins. Oh my God. Because they're playing, of course you get healthy against the Giants and the Washington team. I mean, if it was against any team other than the Giants or Washington, maybe the Jets, like a couple Jets and teams like that, his play before the fourth quarter drives they put together recently, his play would have put the game out of reach for the Eagles. And even then, if Engram just holds on to the ball, he loses anyway. Carson Wentz on, everyone's very impressed with his play in the fourth quarter. What do you think, Carson?
We'd love to not be in those situations where our backs are against the wall. We left a lot of plays out there. We were in the red zone a lot and didn't score many points. So those are things we got to clean up and be better. But when our backs are against the wall and we got to make plays, I'm going to give guys all the opportunity in the world to make them. And coach does a great job of calling the game in those situations. We're playing fast, putting a lot of pressure on the defense. And, we're obviously doing some good things in those situations, and we got to keep building on it. But again, ideally we don't put ourselves in those situations, but when we need it, we've been successful for the most part so far.
Think about the way the media frames stuff to this guy. Like, he did something. It's a 2-4-1 team. They beat one of the worst teams in the league, in the worst division in the history of football, in spite of Carson Wentz's many mistakes that I just outlined. It's like, Carson, why are you so great? No, Carson Wentz is tough as nails. He has upper-end elite talent. He is a mid-pack starting quarterback because he makes bad decision after bad decision and is impossibly inconsistent. He's also regressed. He was an MVP-caliber player not long ago, and he is far from that nowadays. I'd like to welcome in now a die-hard Eagles fan, a golf expert, the golf expert here on ESPN, the great Michael Collins on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can check him out at ESPN Caddy. There he is, Santa himself. What's going on, Santa?
Number one, I'm not Santa. I'm like Tyrone Claus, Santa's cousin. I show up December 27th. Once the kids start, when the kids start acting naughty is when I show up, take all the toys back, and tell the kids, I told you we watch all year long. Start acting right again. You get the toys back. And yes, I am a diehard Eagles fan. I'm going to play the role of Dan Orlowski just for a second.
Yeah.
I am not disagreeing with you saying that Carson has made some bad decisions. I'm not disagreeing with you that the Eagles are in a horrific division. And the fact that they're 2-4-1 and lead the division and are probably going to win the NFC East, it's like winning skinny kid at fat camp. I know. Like, I won skinny kid.
Did you?
I got to stay
Did
here
you actually
at fat
win
camp,
a skinny so kid still, at oh, fat camp?
Okay.
You sound like you're talking from experience, Michael.
No, man,
have you ever won skinny kid at fat camp?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering. All right. Okay, I just wanted to know.
I never went to fat camp because they don't have fat camp for grown-ups. I'm just right. saying.
I'm gonna win fat guy skinny camp.
I love the way that
but
how
anyway,
you are so dismissive. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Why are you so dismissive mm-hmm. on the fact that, one, Carson has stayed healthy for a full year how many times?
Oh. Oh, he's been healthy for a year, has he?
Oh. Let me ask you one other question.
Yeah.
One other question. Hold on. And another important question. Who exactly is Carson throwing to and who's protecting him? Like, when is the last time this dude
Mailata actually is really good?
Just a middle of the pack quarterback.
Mailata, they got guys on the offensive line.
Awesome.
He's good.
You
and by the
one
way,
guy out of six on the offensive line. Woohoo! Yay!
And by the way,
and
when
now
I
Deshaun
hear about
Jackson
this,
is gone too. Listen, you
no
can
question,
say whatever
hurt,
you want about Carson
up.
Wentz, but what you okay. can't say is that right now. Listen, when he had a healthy full team, what did he do?
Nothing.
He acted like an MVP and put up MVP numbers.
Wait, hold on a second. The very next year, he did, but he
Come
won
on,
zero
man.
Playoff games because he got hurt. Then Nick Foles took the team to the promised land.
The very next
Super
year,
Bowl
did he
MVP.
Make it through the year healthy? Did he make it through the
no,
year?
No, but I'd
no.
like to remind you of something.
He didn't
they were
make it
500,
through
the
year. Foles
they comes were a
in
five,
and plays fantastic. That's
they
great.
Were a 500 team when he went down. Foles played him into the playoffs and won a playoff game. And then last year, Carson Wentz was
awesome.
He was infuriated. He did the exact same thing that he just did. He had a bunch of bad plays every game, bad decision making, bad execution.
Right.
He'd have one miracle
awesome.
Throw because he could. It's
yes.
like, wow, that's a pass.
Yep.
One great throw, three or four decent plays, and the rest were garbage. Yeah, you act like that's great.
Awesome.
Awesome.
No, I didn't say it was great, and I'm not taking away from that. But you also, you can't dismiss the fact that this dude is playing with nothing but backups and guys that were working at 7-Eleven 2 days before the game. Okay?
Ooh. So is Daniel
like
Jones.
He's coming in there and stinking with the starters. Okay? He's not stinking with the starters.
Let me tell you something. Daniel Jones
not,
is dealing with
Max,
the same
I'm
thing. He's just as good as he's
I'm
just as good as Carson
the fact
Wentz
that
yesterday.
Carson Wentz hasn't looked good. But who was?
Daniel Jones was just as good as Carson Wentz yesterday, and he's in the same situation.
Did Daniel Jones win?
Dude, it came down. As a matter of fact, if
did
Engram,
he win?
Wait, hold on. He
I'm
put
hearing
the
crickets.
Wait, you
is
are
hello?
Talking about
is he going down?
Michael,
I don't hear you.
You are talking about well, guys dropping
again,
balls. The guys,
I,
that.
Look, I understand.
What
it's
happened?
The skinny kid at
he
camp,
hit
but,
Engram in
still,
stride.
Like,
he dropped the ball. That's not Daniel Jones's fault. Talking to Michael Collins, diehard
no,
Eagles fan.
He didn't hit him in stride. Engram didn't make the catch.
Right.
It's only called hitting him in stride if he actually catches the ball.
Well, no, he put it in his hands. It
did
was in
catch
his hands.
The ball?
That's
so
not.
He,
is that
so
Daniel Jones' fault?
That'd be like
so,
saying.
But
Carson
didn't you
Wentz
just bring
the,
up before
hey,
the drops?
Carson Wentz hit his receiver perfectly in the numbers, except he hadn't turned around.
Didn't you just bring up the drops from Carson Wentz? Put it this way. Some of the, even the drops
yeah,
when you
what
talk
I'm
about
saying.
Carson Wentz.
So
why is that okay for Carson Wentz but not Daniel Jones? I'll take the Sanders. You brought up Miles Sanders before. Drops in the end zone. Carson Wentz throws late to the wrong shoulder. Sanders almost makes a play on the ball and drops it. And it's like, oh, if he drives, it was a drop.
Right.
It wasn't a drop. It was a bad throw.
But if he makes the catch, what do you call it?
Same thing I'd have called
like
it if
last
Ingram
night,
makes
if Ingram makes the catch, what do you call it?
A win.
Like, who gets the stat? Are you going to say it was a terrible? Okay, like
the difference is Daniel Jones threw a good ball, Carson Wentz threw a bad one.
The same thing as on a golf scorecard. There ain't no pictures. There ain't no pictures. So when people look back at all the stats, they'd be like, "Man, must have been a great throw. I mean, these dudes are doing awesome. Look at those numbers he's putting up."
Let me ask you something. I want
you
to defend this.
You can't just say, "Well, I'm going to use the stats here because they work in my favor," but I'm not going to use the stats here because I can make this dude
Michael,
look worse.
Answer me this.
Come
answer
on,
me this. First quarter,
on,
the Eagles are up 7-0,
okay.
right? 3rd and 9 from their own 12. Wentz has 7 seconds
yes.
to throw the ball. He takes a sack inside the 5-yard line, then subsequently the Giants tie it right up, right?
Horrible decision.
Okay, that's one.
Horrible decision.
End of the first quarter, 1st and 10 from the Giants'
horrible
30.
Decision.
He holds
here's
the ball.
My question.
He refuses
wait,
to get rid
Try
of it.
Out. Here's my question to you.
He loses 16 yards. If he's playing a competent team, the game's already over.
Answer this question. Whoa, whoa, back up. Number one, see, here's where you got to back up. Okay, 3rd and 9, he gets 7 seconds, and he throws it away for an incompletion. They were on the what yard line? 12, right?
Right.
They were on the 12-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
12-yard line. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he throws it away, and now it's fourth down from the 12-yard line, and the punter kicks it to the Giants, 45. And the Giants scored three plays later. Because the last I checked, I don't know, Carson Wentz doesn't play defense. So does starting field position, the fact that they hit Golden Tate on a bomb 39-yarder, like, okay, so they hit Golden Tate on a bomb 30. You said that Daniel outplayed Carson Wentz.
No,
so
I didn't.
Then don't
no,
take
I didn't.
Away from
I mean, well, yeah,
they could have started at the Giants 45.
Way.
That's said, fine. But don't dismiss that. Don't just act like because Carson Wentz made a bad decision and took a sack inside the five, that was why the Giants scored. No, no. Carson Wentz didn't play defense. I don't care where the Giants started. And even if they get a field goal out of that, they still got points. No one's saying it was a bad decision. But don't say the Giants got a touchdown because Carson Wentz took a bad sack. Nah, it doesn't work that way, bro.
Michael, I said that Daniel Jones played just as well as Carson Wentz or just as poorly. If I had to say who played better, maybe that pass to Boston Scott separated Carson Wentz. But by almost nothing. By the way, according to quarterback rating, like I'll go through every game with you. And show you where Carson Wentz's bad decisions were backbreakers, right? The Eagles trailing. He has so far turned the ball over 9 times in 7 games in Eagles territory. He kills, even last year when they caught fire, supposedly, he would cough the ball up on 3rd down in the 4th quarter. They were lucky to recover. You know, I'm not questioning his toughness. This dude is tough as nails. I'm not questioning his talent.
I am not disputing
anything that you're
saying,
Max. He's almost as talented as anyone.
Max.
He is so inconsistent that he's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. And, Michael, he's paid over $100 million to make up for the deficit of the team. He is not playing like a $100 million player. He's playing like an average starter. That's not good enough for him.
Max, I'm not disputing anything that you're saying as far as making bad decisions. Mm. But you cannot tell me and don't dismiss the fact that the team that he is playing with is not the team that he was preparing to play with. So I don't care how much money did you pay somebody. I don't if Russell Wilson was in the exact same situation and he's the quarterback for the Eagles and he has to deal with injury after injury and new guy after new guy, mm-hmm. please don't tell me that you don't think that Russell Wilson might make a couple bad decisions.
No, this is what I'm
saying.
Again, this is what I'm saying,
as
Michael.
A big-time Eagles fan, too, I'm giving you the fact that, look, the Eagles are in a horrible decision or in a horrible division and that Carson has made some really bad decisions at quarterback. But you can't dismiss the fact of where he is and where that team
is
injury-wise and who they're bringing in.
I'm not dismissing, although it's a little bit like they have a ton of injuries. They have guys
so
playing
then
well,
that
too.
Has to like have yesterday, an effect like, on how Carson
like
plays.
Last year, I heard about Miles Sanders. Who's Miles Sanders? If you watch the game, Miles Sanders is really good, actually, right? My lot, all these problems on the offensive line. Actually, he's really good. I'm not denying that a quarterback would feel pressure in Carson Wentz's position, especially if he has Carson Wentz's talent, to make things happen. What I am saying is if it's a second-year quarterback on a rookie deal who hasn't learned his lesson, like that hero ball's actually usually killing the team, I would get it. He's a fifth-year quarterback on a $100 million-plus deal whose team would be better off if he would just play situational football. Like, that's the difference. Situational football right now and just proper decision-making and execution, that's the difference between Carson Wentz and an elite quarterback. Like, the Eagles are paying for an elite quarterback. They ain't getting it,
so
Michael.
What you're saying is that if Carson Wentz plays smart situational football, mm-hmm. that the Eagles' record is better than 2-4-1?
Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And
have
last
you been
year
taking
been
California medicine?
And last year they'd have been better, too. That's right. Carson Wentz.
How many points does Carson Wentz give up on the defensive end?
How many points
do you give up on the defensive end?
Actually, it's funny that you say that. When you turn the ball over 9 times in your own territory in 7 games, you give up a lot of points on the defensive end. Oh, drop the mic!
And
I just
dropped
the mic all over you, Santa.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All of the Raiders' starting O-line and Jonathan Abram placed on the COVID-19 list. The Las Vegas Raiders have placed all five starting offensive linemen on the reserve COVID-19 list, along with safety Jonathan Abram. After starting right tackle Trent Brown was placed on the list, on Wednesday, left tackle Colton Miller, left guard Denzel Good, center Rodney Hudson, and right guard Gabe Jackson each landed there Thursday. All four were deemed high-risk contact after Brown tested positive for COVID-19. Will we see another game postponed? It seems to me. I mean, how do you play without an offensive line? The question to me is not whether it should be postponed, is what should happen to the Raiders? Did they break protocol? Seems like from reports that there are guys doing things without masks. I think you have to establish in these cases, are you following the rules or not? If a team isn't following rules and there's a COVID outbreak and there's a postponement, there should be some penalty. Now, you can follow the rules and still get COVID, or you can not follow them and not necessarily get it, right? But there has to be, like, if someone, if you wind up with an outbreak and it turns out that that team wasn't following protocol, there's got to be a punishment. Even if you say, well, how do you can't really establish a causal link. Doesn't matter. Good. Then let it dissuade those. Let it serve as incentive to follow the rules. Dissuade those who would break them. Break protocol. One thing I don't understand, like a lot of these, it's like so impossibly irresponsible public figures talking about, hey, in our state, politicians talking about, hey, in our state, we leave it up to you. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't. That is the most immature, idiotic public statement a public official can make. It's not like, let me explain this. Maybe I have to use sock puppets. It's not about whether you want to wear a mask or not, because it keeps you safe. Wearing a mask is about keeping everyone else safe. You know, the right to swing your fist ends at my nose. If you don't wear a mask, you're swinging your fist and hitting people in the nose. You got to follow the protocols. And if you don't, do you understand? They're attempting successfully so far to play tackle football in the middle of a pandemic for which there's no vaccination. In the middle of a pandemic, they're successfully getting through now almost half an NFL season. Tackle football. You know how many positive COVID cases there were in the NBA in the bubble? Zero. The NFL doesn't have a bubble. They're doing better than I thought they'd do. Got to give it to them. But if you're not following protocols and you have an outbreak, there's got to be a punishment. Draft pick compensation. I think I heard Ryan Clark talk about that on Get Up This Morning. Something. There's got to be a punishment. If not forfeiture of the game. Serious. This is serious business. You know, COVID cases hit the all-time high in the United States. New cases. I think it was over, was it 73 or 76,000 new cases today? Or yesterday. And this is usually, as the cases are spiking upward, there's like a two-week lag time as they compile the data. This is not playing games, folks. I don't know how the Raiders play without their O-line. So you're going to have to postpone the game, it seems to me. But there should also be some kind of sanction against the Raiders for this, if it's found that they indeed broke protocol. If not, it happens. And you can't blame the Raiders in the middle of a pandemic for someone becoming infected and infecting others. Even if you follow protocols, you may still, the disease spreads because the carrier is asymptomatic for a while. It's a clever disease, you know? Because while you're asymptomatic, it's spreading. And then the symptom pops up. And then go ahead, contact trace the 100 people you came within 6 feet of, right? Or even the 5 people because they came in contact with 5. And they, you know, there you go. So, yeah, if the Raiders broke protocol, there should be some kind of a punishment.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Dan in Gainesville, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Give me your last take.
Hey, Max. Hope everything is going good. You tried to make too much of this impending victory that the Cowboys will clearly have over the Washington football team this weekend, when in reality, the season's already a wash. Philadelphia deserves that division. I think they're the better team simply because they have Wentz and they don't have Dak anymore. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think that Philadelphia is even more banged up than the Cowboys, except for the quarterback, obviously. And I don't know that Wentz gives you such a premium that Philadelphia wins the division. In fact, once the Cowboys beat Washington, if that's what's going to happen, I actually like the Cowboys simply because they're a half game up. That's how close I think it is. Champ, and say, oh, by the way, that's news from Max Kellerman Nation. Dan just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line to say he thinks Wentz gives the Eagles the edge. I think most people think that, in fact. Champ in San Antonio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Yes, sir. How you doing, boss?
Good. Go.
Yeah, I believe that Jerry Jones is cursed. Do you believe in curses?
I certainly do. In sports curses? Absolutely.
Okay, this man fired Tom Landry over the radio. His wife had to tell him he was fired. So I need you to do your research and find out if there's any truth to that. And for two, I feel like Daniel Jones, Eli Manning would have failed, Tom Brady would have failed, all those guys would have failed.
They would have failed. They would have never been in the open field running. Look, the problem with Daniel Jones is he had the touchdown, and then he had to try to put on the afterburners. They keep showing these stats. Daniel Jones, of the top speeds achieved by a quarterback on the field this year, they're all Lamar Jackson. And right after Lamar Jackson, they're all Daniel Jones. He's fast. He didn't need to put on the afterburners. He was already going to score. And by the way, Landry, I don't know. What happened? Jerry Jones called him up and, what, he called up his wife and fired him over the phone? I don't remember that. I may have known that at one point. I don't remember. What, he take his hat and break it over his knee, and ever since then, the Cowboys can't win? News from Max Kellerman Nation. Champ just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line to talk about the idea that the Cowboys are cursed. Well, I certainly hope that's true. Whitaker in North Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
Hey, Max. Huge fan. I watch First Take legitimately every single morning. I love what you got to say, other than that's the Kawhi thing, but I'll save that for NBA season.
Well, I was wrong. You know what happened.
but I'm calling to make a last take. I saw a little blip on the TV about Gettleman, and I think that the Giants should be absolutely done with Gettleman at the end of the year. You know, it's too far into the season to be done with him now. I think his time's over. If you think about the three biggest moves he's done, and I saw it on Zubin either today or yesterday, Saquon might not have been the best pick, and I know that's kind of a hot take.
No. The point about Saquon is this. If you want to debate that pick, you don't pick a running back second overall. That's the debate there. But like, it takes no special talent to recognize that Saquon is a special talent, right? So, and it's also Saquon, not Saquon, as far as I know. Anyway, what else? Oh, he's gone already. No, you got to get rid of Gettleman before the next draft. How hard is it to fix an offensive line? You draft a guy in the first round. You coach him up. You sign some guy off someone's practice squad that's underrated. You go to the Canadian Football League. There's a guy up there that no one's ever heard of. Get you some depth. You sign a guy, a veteran, who's just going to be solid at guard. You know, I mean, like, this. It takes... The Giants haven't had a line since 2011. Since 2012. You go 8-10 years without an offensive line? Maxwell in Fort Worth. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're doing well. You made a statement 2 days ago about Clayton Kershaw being a loser like Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain was definitely not a loser.
No, I'm not. I didn't say a loser like Wilt Chamberlain. No, don't misquote me. What I said was Kershaw, at best, if he turns his fortunes around in the postseason, will go down in history with Peyton Manning and Wilt Chamberlain. Now, that's an awesome thing to be, because it means that you have an argument that in the regular season, you're the best who ever did it. But your postseason play fell off to the point that you're not actually in the GOAT conversation. When was the last time you heard someone mention Peyton may be the greatest player ever? Because in the regular season, he was. Or Wilt, for that matter. Because in the regular season, you have an argument for Wilt. They didn't come up big enough when their teams needed it most, usually. They each have two championships. Clayton Kershaw has zero championships. This would be working on his first one. He ain't in the Peyton Manning, Wilt Chamberlain level yet. He's got to get a couple of championships just to be in that level. And what that level is too bad they weren't better in the playoffs because they might have been the GOAT if they were. That's what I'm saying. The guy makes one comment. I yell at him until he's off the phone. Anthony in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Go Clippers, baby. I got something
Where are they going?
For you. What about Van Fleet to the Clippers and get rid of Lou Williams?
Van Fleet is a very good player. I don't know why I have to get rid of
Lou
Williams.
Was that Marcellus?
No.
I don't know. The number?
Hey, but I know Marcellus. I ran track with him with the Jets. He knows me very well.
Oh, all right. You didn't intimidate him on the way up, did you? Like, what was his name? What was that guy's name who used to intimidate Marcellus? Raj, do you remember?
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, he told me about him. Yeah. One, at first it was his sister that used to beat him up, but then someone at school used to intimidate
Brian
him.
Brian Bembo.
Yes. Brian Bembo. How'd you get that?
He used to bully him.
I just want
to
say I'm glad that Lou is there. I think we're going to be a lot better than last year.
All right, I'm done with Anthony already with the Clippers. Will you stop it with the Clippers? Van Vliet. You know what's hilarious about the Knicks? They had all these plans. We're going to clear cap space. And you ain't doing anything. You traded Kristaps Porzingis because you poisoned him against New York while he was still on his rookie deal. How did Yosemite Sam do it? He used to like cuss, but he would do it fake words. Frassima. That's how I feel about the Knicks. How do you poison a guy against New York while he's still on his rookie deal and you trade him for peanuts? It's insane. And then you have the audacity, that you have the nerve, as Stephen A. was saying, the unmitigated gall, to sell it to us like it's part of a rebuild? As though the Mavericks said, you know what? We're going to use Dirk Nowitzki on his rookie deal. We're going to trade him to rebuild. Hakeem, you're out of here. We're going to rebuild on your rookie deal. Same thing with Tim Duncan. What? You trade Porzingis to rebuild? It's idiotic. They're lucky if they wind up with Van Vliet as their best player, the Knicks. Good player, good free agent, though. What a weekend. Habib and Gaethje, Steelers and Titans, and the World Series. We got a lot to talk about on Monday. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, Shanae and Golic Jr. coming right up.